Well, hello and welcome to the Wycombe Baptist Church podcast. I'm Tom and I have with me Elgan and Steve all the way from Myanmar. Hi, guys.
Hey there.
Elgan, over to you.
Okay. Steve, just briefly, could you give us a bit of background on what you're doing and how long you've been in Myanmar?
I've been in Myanmar for about 2 years now, but I've been working on the Thai Myanmar border for the last 12 years. I run a school called Brighter Futures, which helps people that don't have accredited education to get a GED certificate and then go to international university. And the whole school is run on a Christian ethos. So we have worship a couple of times a week. We hold church services on Sunday. Really try to disciple the students as they go through or reach out to them with the gospel.
Brilliant. And what's the background of the students? Would any of them be Christians, or are they all from very different backgrounds and that sort of thing?
We normally get about half and half between Christian and Buddhist and the odd animist student coming. From very different backgrounds. Some come from refugee camps in Thailand. Others come from Myanmar villages, and the odd one comes from a city. Actually, one of the really cool things is we get them from different armed groups as well. So some might be from the KNU, some from the BGF, some from DKBA. And these groups traditionally might have been fighting with each other. But when the students come here, we live as a family. And in a way, it shows them what's possible for the future.
Brilliant. You mentioned that you live as a family, so all the students live at the school with you. Is that right?
Yeah, like when you came to visit a couple of years ago, you know, we've got the girls' dormitory, the guys' dormitory, and then my little office slash room slash cupboard slash storage area.
Brilliant. So how many of you live at the school?
Normally we'd have about 35 students. At the moment we're down to 22. There's a lot of rules at the moment about gatherings. So legally there should only be 5 people gathering together at any time. But because some students are from Thailand or refugee camps and it's just been impossible for them to go home, we've had to give them a place to stay during summer holidays since the COVID started.
Right. So the current situation then has obviously changed things massively. What have been the main differences? I guess students not being able to go home being one. Are there any other particular differences that have changed things?
Yeah, quite a few. I mean, freedom is a big issue right now. Because we have got 22 people here instead of 5, which would be the legal maximum, we've had to put in a lot of rules to try and, like, so we keep the gate closed, the students are not allowed to go outside, we only let one person go to the shop each day to buy food, and we rotate between 3 different people, so the local community are not seeing lots of faces outside. You know, we've got some students that have been in the school compound since March, so definitely a lot less freedom. Financials is a big change. We support 15 students at university in Thailand, and normally they would all come back to Myanmar for the summer holidays, but again, because of the border closures, they're not allowed to travel, so we have to support them for the full 12 months instead of just 10 months. So that's put a big strain on the budget. And then teaching. We would have had face-to-face classes during the whole of May. But again, because students can't travel, we're having to do more hybrid classes. So those students that are in the dormitory, they come to class. And those that are in the villages, they join by Facebook Messenger. And we have to record some of the lessons and things like that. So quite a lot of changes.
Sure. And are there particular things you would give thanks to the Lord for at this time?
Ironically, the dormitory collapsed about 2 weeks ago now. The boys' dormitory completely came down in a storm, and there were 2 guys under the dormitory in hammocks, there were 3 or 4 guys in the dormitory, and the whole thing came down on top of them, and praise God that nobody got hurt. And it had been a rough few days in school. People were starting to break the rules. I was having to get stricter with people. The atmosphere had changed quite a lot over the few days prior to the dormitory collapsing. But as soon as the dormitory came down, you know, the whole school had to get together, dig all the possessions out, go through the rubble, try and find all the clothing, computers, etc. And then over the following 5 days, we completely rebuilt 2 dormitories. And that building process really united everybody together.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like quite the bonding process, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's that lovely verse in Romans 10, isn't it, where it says, you know, God works everything together for the good of those who love him. And, you know, even a dormitory collapsing, well, praise God, nobody got hurt. Praise God, it united everybody. Praise God, actually, we could use most of the materials to rebuild the new dormitory, so it cost us almost nothing. And there's just so many blessings coming out of that.
Sure. And how about particular things that we at Wycombe can be praying for you?
Well, I mean, at the moment, things are quite difficult in Myanmar. So you might have seen it on my newsletters or on the I've got a Facebook group where I post updates. There's a Myanmar preacher called David La that was breaking the rules. He was continuing to have church gatherings. And he, you know, he was saying to people, if you truly believe in Jesus, well, you're not going to get COVID. Now, he got COVID, and 70 people linked to his church got COVID, and that's 70 people out of 200 in the whole country. So there's quite a backlash against Christianity right now. You know, you can imagine if a third of the cases came from two churches who were breaking the rules and who had been saying, no, you're not going to get COVID because you're true believers. You know, that causes quite a big backlash against Christianity. So you could pray that there will be they will ease up a little bit, but also that it would lead to opportunities. You know, with Christians, some people support him, some people don't support him, so it opens up conversations between different types of Christians in the country. And then for Buddhists and other religions, when they see that, sometimes they're interested in what I might think or what others might think. So again, it can lead to quite a lot of conversations.
Sure. That'd be one area to be praying for right now.
Yeah, fantastic.
Quite a few other areas.
Keep going.
I mean, in the school, we've got to face a lot of decisions. When to open is the major one right now. I mean, the government tend to release their laws covering 2-week periods, and they update the laws the day before the current regulations expire. So the current regulations go until May 30, and that's banned all private nurseries, residential schools from opening, and it's also got the maximum of 5 people gathering together. So we're not going to know for sure when we can open the school again until May 29. We're expecting new laws to be out then that will cover the period up to around June 14, June 15. We should have been opening on June 1st, but I've asked the students not to come until they hear from me. And we're just hoping that there might be a way to open in June. A lot of the schools in Myanmar are currently being used as quarantine centres. Myanmar's great on the COVID response. You know, everybody that's coming into the country has to go through 21 days government quarantine, followed by 7 days isolation. And a lot of schools in towns and villages have been converted into quarantine centres. So for the government schools, they're probably not going to be opening anytime soon because they need to first get rid of the people that are staying there and then secondly disinfect them and then plan how they can actually, you know, open the school with so many students in small spaces. But for us, hopefully we won't need to wait for the government schools to open, but we do need that law on gatherings to ease up a bit. And then I said, sure. Financials would be a good thing to pray for. You know, we are supporting a lot more students right now. And we just trust God and we pray that God will provide everything we need at the right time. For the last 10 years of Brighter Future, that's exactly what he's done. So we keep praying. And there are a lot of students that are waiting to go to university. In the class last year, we had 15 students. And only 6 of them passed all their exams. So we're hoping all of them get into university. And trying to find ways for those students that didn't finish their final exam to take it. Normally we send the students over to Thailand to take their exams, but the border with Thailand is completely closed. So again, we're waiting for the government to ease up the restrictions there. So praying for patience would be a great thing. and praying for the students.
Sure.
It's really a time of uncertainty. It's not like the UK where the government can make a rule that everybody was taking GCSEs gets a predicted grade instead, because we're not part of the government system in either Thailand or Myanmar. You know, we haven't got access to that kind of mechanism. So students either take their exam or have to defer university to a future time. I mean, I suppose one great blessing of this whole thing has been the development of online resources, and especially what you guys are doing over at Wickham. You know, I've really loved being more involved, you know, being able to watch the services at the same time as you on Sundays, seeing Tom and Paul and Clove and others preaching, being able to listen to podcasts like this and just hear different things, what's happening, like Attila in Romania and hearing the updates and the building project. And meeting with my home group every couple of weeks, you know, that's been an amazing blessing to me. Kind of something that's been missing since we opened the church and school here. You know, I've really missed that fellowship with other believers at the time. Having to lead here and lead the students, there was that kind of that little link missing. But being able to join online and meet my home group every couple of weeks, it's been amazing for me.
Yeah, praise God for that, that he's still at work in the circumstances and that, you know, good things are being brought out as a result of it, even.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing same for you guys over in the UK. You can share it to people that maybe wouldn't have come into a church, but it's easier for you to share a link to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Are there other particular things you'd want to mention for us here at Wickham to know about and to be praying for you with?
Just praying for energy as well. So even though we're locked down, there's a lot of work to go on. You know, we're doing online classes, which I've never done before. I'm trying to learn how to edit recordings together. Maybe Tom should come over and give me a hand. But yeah, I'm not a tech guy. I left the UK 12 years ago, and technology has just advanced so much since I left the UK. I haven't got a clue. You know, I even had to work out how to install Teams the first time we had the home group meeting. It took me a while. So this movement to online learning is really challenging, and it's challenging for the students as well. You know, the students are in villages trying to do online learning. There's no printer in the village, there's no computer in the village. They will get a photograph of a textbook that they tried to read on their smartphone at the same time as trying to watch the video call on Messenger on their smartphone. And then if it rains, the signal will get quite poor or cut out completely. There'll be frequent electric cuts, and that's assuming they have electricity in their villages. So it's really a challenging time.
Wow.
Online learning. Yeah. I'm really praying that it doesn't last too long.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been really great to hear from you, Steve, to hear your voice across the world. Actually, your sound quality is better than Elgan's, which is quite ironic. No, do you mind, Steve, if I pray for you as we finish off?
Yeah, I'd love that. Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you for Steve and for the school Brighter Futures out there in Myanmar. And Father, we've heard so much of what's going on there, the new challenges that have come in this time of coronavirus. And we do just thank you for the ways in which you've enabled Steve to carry on. We thank you that this collapse of the dormitory didn't cause any injury, and that it actually served a good purpose with the school pulling together and having to rebuild that. And Father, we do thank you that you work all things for good, and that we can see that lived out in our lives as believers. Steve has mentioned many things we can be praying for, all these issues of internet and getting the teaching out and entries to universities and exams. Father, you are a wise God, you are a powerful God, and we ask you to intercede in that situation, Lord, that you would help Steve to know which decisions to make when, and Lord, as he's asked, that this would not be a long time of being locked down there, but that things would return towards normality soon for him, and that the school would be able to open up in June or very soon after that. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.